This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Andrea Seabrook. Half a dozen startup companies are competing to be the first to fly paying passengers to the edge of space on a regular basis. Some of the better-known players are building futuristic-looking spacecraft. Frank Morris of member station KCUR reports one Oklahoma company is taking a different approach. It's modifying an old plane and an even older spaceport.
Rocket Plane Incorporated makes its headquarters here, in a squat brown building near working oil wells pressed in against Will Rogers World Airport in Oklahoma City. But Rocket Plane XP program manager Dave Faulkner says the company has lofty ambitions.
Well, Rocket Plane has a vision of being the leading space transportation provider in the world.
For that, of course, you need a spacecraft, and Faulkner grins wide-eyed when he talks about the one he's designed. A technical drawing of the Rocket Plane XP hangs on his office wall. It looks like a business jet, which it used to be. It's a 1960s-era Learjet fuselage, fitted with short, swept-back wings and a rocket engine. Faulkner says the old Learjet airframe can handle the speed and pressure with a few modifications. The guy on the hook to actually fly this craft is former NASA astronaut John Harrington. He says using existing parts makes sense.
Well, I think it's Midwestern values. I mean, this is what folks here, what do we have here that we can make the most of?
It turns out the fuselage isn't the only thing Rocket Plane is recycling. The other is way out on the high plains of western Oklahoma in a place called Burns Flat.
We are in the Rocket Plane XP hangar and operations hangar here at the Oklahoma Spaceport.
Bill Curry, the executive director of the Oklahoma Space Industry Development Authority, swells with pride as he shows off the spaceport. Though this facility is more Cold War than Star Wars, until 1970 it was a strategic air command base for B-52 bombers. Now this cavernous old hangar sits empty except for a mock-up of the Rocket Plane XP. Still, Curry says the site has what other states would envy: a license to operate a commercial spaceport, and an immense 3-mile-long runway suitable for landing wheeled spacecraft.
This is a real industry. It's here, and it's operational. And it's a matter of who wants to be out there and wants to do it first, because it's going to happen.
But it may not happen here, at least not first. A competition called the Ansari X Prize ignited the space tourism industry 2.5 years ago, when Burt Rutan's Spaceship One proved it could take a person up 62 miles, which is technically the edge of space, and back safely twice in a week. Billionaire entrepreneur Richard Branson licensed Rutan's technology, launched Virgin Galactic, and started marketing space tourism.
Our suborbital space trips promise to be the most intense and wonderful experiences that our passengers have ever had.
What you're seeing really is a new industry emerge, populated primarily by new companies that haven't been involved in the space industry before now.
Space industry consultant Jeff Faust says half a dozen companies have sprung up to serve this market, which could conceivably grow to thousands of yearly customers by the end of the next decade. For now, advanced seats go for around $200,000 a pop. Who's buying? People like Rita Anderson.
I tend to be an adventurer type. I like high-end things, world-class events.
Sitting in front of a bust of Amelia Earhart in the 99's Museum of Women Pilots in Oklahoma City, Anderson says she knows that the 45-minute rocket plane flight won't take her to outer space. At 62 miles, you can still see the Burns Flat runway, at least on Google Earth. She knows she'll be strapped in her seat throughout the 3 minutes of weightlessness at the apex of the flight. Still, at nearly 70 years old, Anderson calls the opportunity awesome.
I can picture myself getting in that space plane at Burns Flat and saying, "Follow me, follow me," and it's just so thrilling.
While everyone associated with Rocket Plane seems to share Anderson's excitement, the project itself is only one quarter done. Still, the company maintains it'll test its craft in 2 years, fly paying passengers by the end of 2009, and possibly claim a space in aerospace history by helping to usher in a new era of routine space travel. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris.